Pick up a deck of cards, and you are holding something that has passed through more hands, crossed more borders, and outlasted more empires than almost any other object in human history. The standard 52-card deck sitting in a casino shoe looks unremarkable. A disposable consumable replaced every few hours and thrown away. But the object itself, and the specific structure of suits and numbers and face cards, has a history that stretches back over 1,000 years and touches virtually every major civilization along the way. The most widely accepted origin story places the invention of playing cards in Tang Dynasty China, somewhere around the 9th century. A text from 868 CE describes Princess Tong Cheng playing a leaf game with members of the imperial family, which is one of the earliest documented references to card-based play. Those early cards were very different from what we recognize today. They were closer to paper tiles than to the structured deck we know, but the core idea of marked, portable game pieces was already there. From China, cards moved west along trade routes into Persia and then into the Arab world. Around the 11th century, playing cards were common in much of the Islamic world. Persia and Arabia had cards that started to look like the cards we have today: four suits, numbered cards, and court cards. The most significant surviving example is the Mamluk deck, discovered in the Topkapi Palace in Istanbul. The Topkapi pack originally consisted of 52 cards across four suits: polo sticks, coins, swords, and cups. Each suit contained 10 pip cards and 3 court cards. The Mamluk court cards carried no human images, in keeping with Islamic artistic conventions. But the structural logic of the deck, four suits, numbered cards, court cards, is immediately recognizable as the ancestor of what sits in every casino shoe today. From Persia, cards spread to Egypt during the era of the Mamluk Sultanate, and from there into Europe through both the Italian and Iberian peninsulas in the second half of the 14th century. The arrival in Europe was sudden enough to be notable. Within a few decades of their first appearance, they had spread across the continent, and authorities began banning them almost immediately. The bans themselves are evidence of how quickly cards caught on. You do not ban things nobody is using. When playing cards moved to Europe, different parts of the continent developed different suits. In Italy and Spain, the four suits were cups, coins, clubs, and swords. In Germany, it was hearts, bells, acorns, and leaves. Sometime around 1480, the French derived their suits of trefles, clovers or clubs, carreaux, tiles or diamonds, coeurs, hearts, and piques, pikes or spades. And these French suits have been used in the English-speaking world ever since. The French suits won out largely because of practicality. They were simpler to print, cheaper to produce, and easier to distinguish at a glance than the more elaborate German or Italian designs. When the English adopted the French model, it spread through the British Empire and eventually became the global standard. The Italian and Spanish suits survive today in regional card games, and the German suits persist in Central European play. But in modern casinos, it is the French system that governs every table. The court cards, King, Queen, and Jack, evolved from the Mamluk hierarchy of King, Viceroy, and Deputy. The European versions gradually acquired the faces of specific historical and mythological figures, a tradition that lingered in French decks well into the modern era. The one-eyed King of Diamonds, the King of Hearts, with a sword apparently entering his own head, earning him the nickname the Suicide King, and the profile facing Jacks of Spades and Hearts, are all remnants of very specific artistic conventions established centuries ago and copied ever since, without anyone particularly knowing why. Of all the stories embedded in a standard deck, the most dramatic belongs to the Ace of Spades. It involves tax collection, forgery, and an execution at the Old Bailey. Stamp duty was extended to playing cards in 1711 by Queen Anne and lasted until 1960. The system required manufacturers to prove that duty had been paid on each deck. From 1765, hand stamping was replaced by an official Ace of Spades printed by the Stamp Office with the Royal Coat of Arms on it. The card was deliberately made elaborate and difficult to replicate, which is why the Ace of Spades looks so different from every other ace in the deck. The tradition has outlasted the tax by more than 60 years. The consequence of forging this card was unambiguous. Forging a stamp on the Ace of Spades was punishable by death, and the threat was not theoretical. Richard Harding, a licensed card maker who kept two shops in London, was capitally indicted for forging and counterfeiting the brass duty stamps and for selling cards with those counterfeited impressions. The investigation was triggered because Harding was taking out far fewer official stamps than his volume of business warranted. When officers searched his premises, they found copper plates for printing forged aces and thousands of illegal impressions. The jury returned a verdict of guilty, death, and Harding was hanged at the age of 35. A second case followed in 1836, when Henry Wheeler was found guilty of the same offense, though his sentence was reportedly commuted to transportation. The association between the Ace of Spades and death, which later surfaced again in the psychological warfare operations of the Vietnam War when American soldiers left the card on fallen enemy combatants, comes not from mysticism but from this very specific and very lethal piece of British tax law. Card games and gambling have always been close companions, but the formal incorporation of playing cards into organized casino environments happened gradually, through specific games rather than a single event. The earliest game still played in casinos today is Baccarat. A version was first mentioned as long ago as the 1400s, when it migrated from Italy to France. Blackjack has a similarly long ancestry. Most researchers agree it probably originated in French casinos around 1700, where it was called Vingt et Un, which translates to 21. The game crossed the Atlantic with French colonists and spread through American gambling houses in the 19th century. It was still called 21 when it gained popularity in Nevada in 1931, the year the state first made gambling legal. To draw more people to the game, some casinos offered a special bet. A hand featuring a blackjack plus the ace of spades would pay 10-1 odds. The bonus was eventually dropped, but the name stuck. Poker followed a parallel path, moving through saloons and riverboats before arriving in formal gambling establishments. The difference between poker cards and blackjack cards in a modern casino is largely one of use rather than design. Both use the same standard 52-card French suited deck, but casino blackjack cards are typically wider, dealt from a shoe, and replaced far more frequently due to the speed of play. The number of decks used in casino blackjack grew over time as a countermeasure against card counting. The six-deck game, 312 cards in total, is the most popular in casinos today. The specific number 52 in a standard deck has generated more theories than it has answers. The most widely repeated explanation is calendrical. The 52 cards represent the 52 weeks in a year, the 4 suits represent the 4 seasons, and the 13 cards within each suit represent the 13 weeks in each season. There are 12 court cards in a deck, matching the 12 months of the year. Add up all the pip values, with jacks as 11, queens as 12, kings as 13, and aces as 1, and the total comes to 364. One short of a calendar year, or exactly a calendar year, if you count the Joker. Whether any of this was intentional is genuinely uncertain. Most historians say the 4 seasons and 52 weeks connection appeared long after the world was already playing cards, applied as a theory after the fact. The mathematical neatness may be coincidence that later generations found irresistible to interpret as design. The French suits are also said to have represented the 4 estates of medieval society: spades for the nobility and military, hearts for the clergy, diamonds for the merchant class, clubs for the peasantry. This too is more folk interpretation than documented intent. What is not in doubt is that the standard deck is an extraordinarily versatile structure. The same 52 cards support thousands of distinct games across every culture that has adopted them. They have been used for gambling, divination, magic, education, and psychological warfare. They have been taxed, regulated, banned, and in at least one documented case, used as evidence in a capital trial. Every deck that comes out of a new shoe at the start of a shift is the product of that history, even if nobody at the table is thinking about Tang Dynasty princesses or a London card maker who went to the gallows in 1805. It is one of the more remarkable objects in the history of human entertainment, and it fits in the palm of your hand. The next time you break open a fresh deck, take a second look at the Ace of Spades. There is a reason it looks different from every other card in the deck, and that reason got someone hanged.